morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We are talking about a recently completed Packers minicamp. To talk about all things Packers, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning. We have Green Bay Packers Hall of Famer, kicker Chris Jackie, Super Bowl 31 champion, and founder of Player Alumni Resources. Chris, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us.
How are you doing out there?
We're doing great. We'll get to Player Alumni Resources in a second here. But I want to start off by talking some football with Packers minicamp recently concluded. I want to get a kicker's perspective because from all indications, Mason Crosby had a terrific minicamp connecting on a high percentage of kicks. Crosby had a terrific season last year. Can he keep it going after a poor season 2 years ago?
Absolutely. You know, everyone has a down year or a down time in their careers, no matter what their career may be. And Mason had that 2 years ago. And I was telling people all along, I was inundated with questions and, you know, people curious, you know, what's he thinking? What's he doing wrong? And it was really just all mental. And once he figured that out and, you know, once that season ended in 2012 and had some time off probably to go back and look at film of himself and figure out, hey, you know, this is just a mental thing. It's nothing physical. And he figured it out before last season. And he went on to have, a 90% season. And, you know, I fully expect it. I've talked with him a few times this summer already or this spring. And I see no reason it doesn't carry over to this year. I'm really excited for him.
You know, last season, the Packers brought another kicker into camp, and Crosby responded positively. This year, there's no other specialists on the roster other than, you know, the three guys who have been there for years. What's your opinion on bringing in competition at these specialist positions?
I don't really see, you, from a kicker standpoint, I think you want someone there, and it's not from a competition standpoint. It's for someone to take some reps because we do a lot of kicking during training camp, and you don't want to wear your leg out or create a little nagging injury that's going to make you start doing things differently. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, you really want someone in there. But it does feel good to be the only guy in there and they have the confidence in you again. You know, to only have one guy at your position during training camp, you know, it's a luxury not many positions on the team have. But, you know, like I said, I think, you know, you really probably want someone in there to take some of those reps, that rep load off of you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. Kind of a related question here. Just a few weeks ago, we were having a discussion on this show about who should be the kickoff specialist because Tim Mastay was for a period last year. And they both guys kind of seem to have their positives. Mastay seems to have the little bit stronger leg, could get it deeper, although maybe he's not the directional kicker that Mason Crosby is, not as good at onside kicks. You know, what's your take on who should handle those duties?
You know, I honestly think it's whoever does best for the team. You know, if Tim can do it and still, you know, handle the punting duties and not affect his punting stroke or his punting style, and he's the best one to do it, you know, absolutely, you know, Tim should do it. But, you know, like you said, there's a little bit different. I think Tim's more of a line drive type kicker, you know, on kickoffs, whereas Mason still has the incredibly strong leg and can get it 5-6 yards deep, but he tends to have a little bit more hang time, which helps those guys covering those kicks. Mm-hmm. So it depends, you know, what the coaching staff's looking for, and it's a lot of feedback from the punter and the kicker. You know, does kicking off affect the punter? Is it too much on his leg during training camp or during the practice week or during the game? So there's a lot of variables that come into play. But in the end, you know, Coach McCarthy is going to, you know, do what's best for the team. If it's Mason, you know, having the 5 yard deep, you know, with an excellent hang time, you know, that's what he's going to go with. So it all comes down to, you know, style preference on the coaching staff.
We're talking to Packers former kicker Chris Jackie, Super Bowl 31 champion, Packers Hall of Famer on the show this morning, Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. Chris, we know the rule change the NFL is experimenting with this preseason. Extra points will be moved back to the 20. I guess I want to take a look into the crystal ball. What do you think will happen in the preseason, and will this become a full-time thing?
You know, yeah, I kind of chuckle when I hear that. It's, you know, I don't know why. It's like the NFL has constantly got to try and change something just to, I guess, dignify their existence and Washington, D.C. sometimes. Politically correctness aside here. These guys are so good today. Even a kick from the 20-yard line is almost automatic. Obviously, it's not going to be as automatic as, you know, a typical extra point from the 2 or 3 yard line. I think they're just going to experiment with it, is my own opinion. I don't think they're going to implement it for this season. They'll take a look at it. I honestly don't know why they're doing it. Kickers are so good. It's almost like the NFL's thinking, kickers are so good now, how can we mess with their heads some more? It's just fun to watch what the NFL does during the off season, especially at those meetings at a luxury hotel down in Florida or Hawaii. So it'll be fun to watch, though.
Do you fear at all that the role of the kicker is maybe becoming less and less in the NFL with kickoffs moved up? And I don't know, there's talk of, you know, eliminating the extra point altogether, although, you know, I don't know, maybe it's becoming more important if they move it back. I don't know. What's your take?
Again, I think it just goes back to the NFL executives have got to feel like they're accomplishing something during the offseason. I don't think you'll ever see the kicker go away. It is an exciting play during football. I mean, the extra point aside, but kickoff returns, kickoff coverage, punting, punt returns, those type of plays, they're exciting. My thought always was on the kickoff, instead of penalizing the kicker by moving it, you know, from the 30-yard line to the 35-yard line, you know, depending on what year you're in, you know, let's penalize the guy that's not returning the ball out of the end zone. Instead of giving the ball to him at the 20, let's give it to him at the 10-yard line. Now there's more incentive for the return guy to bring it out. And that makes him more, and that creates more excitement, which is what the NFL is always trying to do. It's a fan-based league, let's face it. We're trying to create excitement on and off the field for the fan. And to me, that would be one way of creating excitement, at least on the kickoff play. You know, let's not penalize the kicker for being a very good athlete and, you know, excelling at his job and putting the ball deep in the end zone. Let's penalize the guy that's choosing not to bring the ball out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always been my thought on the kickoff.
Another rule change this year, no experiment. This one's in full effect, raising the goalposts 5 feet. Was this just a case of common sense?
Yeah, that's just common sense. Again, I alluded to it in my statement a couple of minutes ago. Kickers have gotten so good. They get the ball off the ground so quickly, and you know, the strength of kickers today is far beyond what it was even when I played just 10, 12 years ago. It just makes sense. It makes it easier for the refs. I know there was a game in Dallas that I played. The ball went right over the upright, which is supposed to be good, but we're in Dallas, you know, figures, and the guy said no good. So it helps the referees a little bit. I think it's more for their benefit than it is for, you know, any of the players on the field. It just makes sense. I'm surprised they waited this long to do it.
Chris, you were part of the most recent class inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame just last season. Will you be in attendance when Amon Green and Ken Rutgers are inducted just next month?
Absolutely. You know, I had the privilege of playing with Ken Rutgers in the early 90s. Still one of the best linemen I think I've ever, you know, seen play the game. And I've gotten to know Amon very well. We both live here in Green Bay, and we do some things together. We do a lot of charity stuff together. So I'm real excited for those guys. I know this time of year, last year, the nerves start creeping in. You start working on your speech, and, you know, you're dealing with family and friends. And it's almost preparing for a Super Bowl, almost. And it's a great time, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm going to be there to support those guys and listen to see what they have to say. Hopefully they'll mention kickers in their speech, but you never know.
Chris, I asked the same question to Jerry Kramer a few weeks ago when he was on the show. As a member of the Hall of Fame, the Packers Hall of Fame, what's your opinion on a former teammate of yours, Brett Favre? Should he be inducted into the team's Hall of Fame, and when?
Yes, and yesterday.
Okay.
I mean, let's face it, you know, all the crap that went on, you know, with Brett off the field, with Ted Thompson or the front office, you know, whoever you want to talk about or whoever the media was talking about, you know, what Brett accomplished on the field can never be taken away. He brought us back to, when I say us, I mean the Green Bay Packers, to a level of excellence, you know, along with, you know, the help of Reggie White and Mike Holmgren and Ron Wolf and all those guys. Brett was a main cog in that success. And, you know, for things that were maybe said off the field or maybe that weren't said off the field, it's time to put it to rest and bring Brett back, I guess. That's three B's there. But I'm all for it. I think he should be, you know, inducted. He's, you know, have a street named after him if he hasn't already, which I'm sure he does. But he was such an integral part of that winning success. And it really, he's a part, you know, get down to it, of the continued success that we're having today. From 92 until today, I think we've had maybe, one or two losing seasons. So, you know, Brett was the spark that really started Green Bay back to the top and has kept us there. So, you know, I'm excited for the day when we can all put things aside and put Brett's number up in the Ring of Honor and the Hall of Fame and whatever honors Brett can come Brett's way.
It's my opinion that the next player inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame should be Desmond Howard. Of course, the year you were a member of the Super Bowl 31 team, here's a Super Bowl MVP,
right.
And I realize he didn't have a long career with the Packers, but
right.
Would you support that as well?
That's a great question. I have never thought of it, but as soon as you mentioned the name, what went through my head was absolutely. Special teams were so important to that winning season that led up to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl. I know there was a couple of stretches during the season. We had several key injuries, and special teams kind of took up the slack. And Desmond Howard was very integral in that success. Kickoff returns, punt returns, what have you. I would absolutely be for Desmond to be, you know, honored to be in the Packer Hall of Fame. I think that would be a well-deserved tribute to him.
All right, let's talk about player alumni resources. Can you let our viewers
Sure.
and listeners know what it's all about?
What it's all about, and I'll do it as quickly as I can. What was going on last year being inducted into the Hall of Fame, you know, you get invited to a lot of speaking engagements and golf outings and charity events and what have you. And as that was happening, I sat and go, you know, I was talking to, you know, Jerry Kramer or Mark Fleming, a lot of the older guys, and talking about, you know, how do they get engagements? How do they get invited? And they said there's really not a process by which they do that. So I said, you know, in today's day and age, it's fairly easy to set up a website, you know, for the Packer alumni and just lets the world know, hey, we're available for speaking engagements, or, you know, the services on there are fishing. If you want to go fishing with Jerry Kramer, you know, here's where you can, you know, find out if he's available. If you want to go golfing or, you know, whatever your event is, you know, I created that website, Player Alumni Resources, and we've got like 47 sports celebrities, 40 of which are Packer alumni, former Packers. I've got Ron Dane on there. I've got Greg Matzig, the Tim Howard lookalike. So it's grown into something well beyond what I thought it would be. I was trying to set up a website just for Chris Jackie, but in talking to a lot of the alumni, they wanted the same thing, but they don't have the time, or they didn't want to, you know, put it together for themselves. So I kind of took it upon myself to put together the website just to let the Packer fans know, or corporations or charities, that, hey, we're available. We're still alive and kicking. Bring us in to help your charity raise money, or let us come and speak at your next corporate events, or, you know, whatever you want us to do. We're here and we're available.
Okay, so if a listener out there wants, you know, a Packers player to appear at some charity function, how can they get in touch with you? How do they go about it?
Well, they can go right to the website, and that's playeralumniresources.com. And there's a phone number, and it's actually my cell phone number. My personal cell phone number is on there. You can call me direct. Or there's a contact page. You can fill out the contact page that, you know, gives me all of your information, what you're looking for. If you have a specific team member or alumni in mind that you would love to have come to your event, you put that in. You submit it, and, you know, we have not a guarantee, but right on the website, we'll get back to you within 48 hours to talk to you and, you know, find out, you know, what your budget is, what your event is, you know, where everything is at. And then we go from there and we try and fill the need for you and have some fun with it.
Fantastic. Chris, I thank you so much for coming on the show. You were a childhood hero of mine. My parents could confirm I had a number 13 jersey. I had an autographed picture on the wall. So I appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to us this morning.
Anytime, Brian. It was fun.
All right. Take care. Chris Jackie, former Packers and former Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl 31. And Packers Hall of Famer joining us on the show this morning. Great to talk to a Packers Hall of Famer. Great to have you, the listener, join us on the show as well this morning as we continue our discussion of Packers football. Minicamp just concluded. We're kind of in the lull period now, 5 weeks off until the start of training camp. Doesn't mean we don't have football to talk about. The show will continue on nonetheless. The most frequently podcasted show related to the Green Bay Packers there is on the entire internet. You know, one thing I wanted to touch on today that I think is a little bit of an interesting discussion. The Rookie Symposium is currently taking place. Started Sunday. In which Green Bay Packers draft choices are out in Ohio. Basically an orientation to the NFL. They talk about all sorts of things. From the fun things, the players go to the NFL Hall of Fame and they learn about the history of the league. And so they appreciate, the profession they're in and kind of, you know, understand the history behind it and all that. But on top of that, you know, there's all sorts of guest speakers, including former NFL players and current NFL players that talk to the rookies, and they learn about, you know, managing money and making good choices and all those kind of things that they're going to be exposed to as rookies in the NFL. It's kind of interesting, you know, if you follow Packers' first-round draft choice, Clinton Dix. The guy was a celebrity before he was drafted by the Packers. I mean, he played for national championships at Alabama, was an All-American there. People knew who Ha-Ha Clinton Dix was. But when you're a first-round draft choice in the NFL, all of a sudden your celebrity becomes exponentially bigger. And on Twitter, he's mentioned how people have come out of the woodwork, you know, second and third cousins who want a piece of him, more or less. I don't know to what extent, people are bothering him. But you can understand all of a sudden here's people, maybe they don't want money from him. Maybe some do, but they want tickets. They want autographs. They want whatever. They want a piece of you when you become a part of the NFL. And so, Clinton Dix is learning that right now, and I'm sure he is not the only one kind of experiencing that. So that's what the Rookie Symposium's all about. Help these guys, you know, kind of teach them a little bit about how to handle these type of things. And one of the things I think is interesting that I don't think a lot of people know. The Rookie Symposium is only for NFL draft choices, meaning only players who were selected in rounds 1 through 7 You know, the Packers had a, I think, 9 draft choices this year. All those guys are there, from Ha Ha Clint Dix in the first round to Jeff Janis in the 7th round. All the Packers players are currently out in Ohio right now, as we speak, taking part in the rookie symposium. But one player who is not, and I shouldn't just say it's one player, but I do think this is interesting from a certain perspective. One player who's not out there is Packers tight end Colt Lierla. Despite being an NFL rookie, he is not invited to the rookie symposium. And again, they're not singling out Colt Lierla. It's only drafted players who get to go out there. So, I mean, Adrian Hubbard is not out there. John Fullington is not out there. And, I don't know what the Packers end up signing, a dozen or so, undrafted rookies. I forget the exact number off the top of my head, but it's about a dozen. Those guys are not out there. They are not exposed to the orientation. They are not exposed to these sessions and roundtables and speakers who are talking about, you know, how to handle yourself in the NFL, and you know, perhaps even is there a section on substance abuse? I'm not sure. And could this be a good thing for Colt Lierla? I mean, here's a guy who we know the buzz about him, the buzzword or buzzwords, talented but troubled Colt Lierla. You know, we've gone through this so much on the show. It leaves the Oregon program, ends up getting busted for cocaine possession. Not only that, has made, you know, odd statements about the Sandy Hook shootings way back when. We've talked about that before, and I'm not going to sit here and rehash that. But, you know, the guy trying to turn his life around, from all appearances, so far, since he's been with the Packers for the last month or so, he's done all the right things. He's said all the right things. He hasn't gotten in trouble. We don't know what he does 24/7, he's stayed out of trouble. At least he's stayed out of legal trouble at the very minimum, and hopefully is doing better than that. I look right here on the live blog right now. John comments, I was just assuming that all rookies were invited. They are not. They are not all invited. Draft choices only. So, I mean, wouldn't this be a spot for Colt Lierla to take part in this? At minimum, he's part of rookie camaraderie. All other, NFL rookies are there, or draft choices. To be exposed to all these sessions and speakers who are providing not only orientation, but self-help sessions and how to handle celebrity and how to handle finances and how to handle yourself. All these resources that are available, and Colt Lierla is not out there receiving them. I think that is perhaps a shame. I understand kind of why the NFL does it. If all of a sudden you're the Packers signed a dozen or so undrafted rookies, now times a dozen by 31 other teams in the NFL, and all of a sudden, just the drafted rookies are out there in Ohio right now. You got 250 about draft choices in the NFL draft, roughly. Now bring in all undrafted, rookies, and it's about doubling to tripling in size of the event. And that's tough. They're hosting 250 rookies out there. Now double or triple that, over 500, guys you're inviting out there. That's just tougher to manage from a organizational standpoint. So, I mean, that would make it more difficult on the NFL. But what resources are out there for a guy like Colt Laierla? Is it the Packers now? Is it incumbent on them to provide orientation for him and the rest of the undrafted rookies? Just kind of an interesting aspect here that, again, I don't think the public is really aware of, and comments on the live blog confirm that people just assume all rookies are out there. Well, they are not. And I don't know, maybe a mistake. I'm sure the NFL would argue it would be tough from an organizational standpoint to add another, 500 undrafted rookies to the event. And they just simply can't do that or don't have the resources to do that. I get it. But should there be something out there for these undrafted rookies? Don't they deserve something as well, some sort of services to them as far as orientation and getting help and hearing people who've been there before talk about, what it takes to succeed both on and off the field. So interesting thought there. But, yeah, so Packers rookies, Packers draft choices out in Ohio for the next, I think it lasts through Wednesday. They do all sorts of things. They go to the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton. They take part in the NFL Play 60 event. I think that takes place tomorrow at the practice facilities of the Cleveland Browns, seeing as they're in Ohio. It's just where they're closest to. And again, all these other things that, take place behind closed doors. It's not an event that's open to the public or anything, the rookie symposium, but that's what's happening this week in the NFL as, mini camps have come to a close across the league, and players now off for a 5-week vacation, more or less. Not that, every player is sipping a Mai Tai out on the beach somewhere. They certainly might after, the past 9 weeks of an off-season program. They might be taking a week or two off for vacation and just laying low and whatever. But, these NFL players, they're out there working out on their own. I don't think they're working out as heavily as they would during the season. But those guys are out there. They're staying in shape. They're lifting weights. They're running all sorts of those things during this time period. Again, they might take themselves a little bit of a vacation as well. This is the time period right now where they have no obligations. Just like anybody else in the world that is employed and wants to take the occasional vacation, this is the time period when NFL players do that. I'm sure they're taking their families out on vacation and things as well. But yeah, so it'll be a month plus, until they reconvene in late July, the start of training camp. I think Players Report July 25th. And there's all sorts of events leading up to that, as we'll talk about here in the next month or so. The annual shareholders meeting in Green Bay takes place before that. So, we'll be discussing all these things during the month of July here at Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us on the show this morning. Thanks to Packers Hall of Famer Chris Jackie, Super Bowl 31 champion, for joining us on the show, talking about all sorts of Packers topics, from special teams to the Packers Hall of Fame, and everything in between. So thanks to him for joining us. Check out his website, Player Alumni Resources. We provided a link to it on our live stream platform, and I'll post it at cheeseheadtv.com too when we podcast the show later in the day. So thanks to him. Thanks to you for joining us. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kiriboo. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV all week long for all your Packers news needs. We'll talk to you Wednesday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Cannon in Heavens by Lotus, featuring Lyrics Born on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.
Son, you've had it every time that I'm rapping, baby. Going to the mattress is a cannibal about it. Devouring you average motherfuckers like a panther does a rabbit, does a cabbage. I'm a beast, a mammoth, I'm a freak, a savage, I'm an abnormality. Ain't no matter doubt it, I'm a beast.